You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are continuing our series on overcoming life's sorrows, learning from Jeremiah with Dr. Lessing today. It's actually our last episode in this series.
It is.
But it's been a great series.
It has been.
And I've enjoyed what I've learned. I've enjoyed our time with Dr. Lessing. And fear not, we'll do more stories. We'll do more series with Dr. Lessing in the future. Mm. Thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Reed Lessing, his professor of theology and ministry and director of the Center for Biblical Studies at Concordia University, St. Paul. He's also author of Overcoming Life's Sorrows, Learning from Jeremiah from Concordia Publishing House. Dr. Lessing, welcome back.
Good to be here.
So we've worked through several chapters, not all the chapters in Overcoming Life's Sorrows. Today, we're going to take a look at the closing chapter, chapter 26, Who Overcomes. Before we get into that, before we get into this last chapter, what was it like getting to writing you made it through all the chapters, now you're sitting down to write the last chapter, the conclusion. What was it like after all these overcoming chapters, and now you look at Who Overcomes? What was it like for you to sit down and write this last chapter?
Oh, it's like the last day of the semester, or the last day before vacation, or yeah. So it was a good feeling to finish, you know, not a huge project, but a big enough project. And I thought that, you know, inevitably, I think the last chapter kind of named itself, that is to say, finally, who does overcome through God's word and hope and worship and all of the preceding chapter titles?
So we're talking about Jehoiachin in this chapter. Can you remind us, tell us who Jehoiachin is, and also opposed to Jehoiakim?
Yes. No, that's great, Sarah. Yeah, so you're on your way. You know, you've differentiated two names in the Bible, and especially in the book of Jeremiah. There's Jehoiachin and Jehoiakim. Our listeners might think of perhaps Elijah and Elisha, or Eldad and Medad, or Peter and Paul, right? Some of these biblical characters, it's easy to get them confused with one another, right? And especially people like Jehoiachin and Jehoiakim. The kind of down and dirty way to define these two kings, especially as they appear in the book of Jeremiah, is Jehoiakim would be the worst of the Judean kings. He's the guy in the black hat. The Kim guy, Jehoiakim, is the king who sliced and diced and burned the book of Jeremiah in chapter 36 of the book. And Jeremiah isn't going to just sit around and weep and lament. He actually has his friend, his secretary, his amanuensis named Baruch, simply write another book. So that's Jehoiakim. Chin, then, to differentiate between the two, doesn't reign very long. Maybe about 6 months or so. Kind of a short job, right? Maybe we've all had short jobs. Like, boy, that didn't work out very well. But Jehoiachin is actually exiled to Babylon in 597 BC, along with Ezekiel and Daniel, who's already there. Daniel and his friends exiled in 605 BC. So that's who Jehoiachin is. And he is actually one of the model survivors and overcomers in the book of Jeremiah.
So where then, as we get to the end of the book of Jeremiah, what's the outlook for Jehoiachin?
Right. Boy, you're good, Andy. He almost said Kim. Yeah, well, welcome to the club, right? Was it Eldad or Medad or Elijah or Elisha or Kim or Chin? So Chin then appears right at the very end of the book. So chapter 52 of Jeremiah is pretty much word for word the same as 2 Kings chapter 25. That is to say, both chapters are much like what you would read about what's going on in Ukraine or Gaza. It's a reporter's version, right? It's a kind of a third person. It's more of a general overview of the warfare and the disaster. if you want to get feelings and emotions to how all this happened and came down, you'd read earlier portions of Jeremiah or the Book of Lamentations. All of which is to say is that at the end of this very kind of neutral, objective accounting of the end of the Judean state and the fall of Jerusalem in August of 587 BC, we have this little vignette that tells us about King Jehoiachin. And if you make it through the whole way of Jeremiah, right, longest book in the Bible, as I've said now, probably a number of times in our interviews, word for word, longest book in the Bible, and then you finally get to 52:31, and then you'd read 31 through 34, and you would read about our good friend Jehoiachin, and the hint of hope that Jeremiah gives us regarding.
So how is Jehoiachin's story similar to Abraham's? What's the common theme there?
Right. So what's going on with Jehoiachin is earlier in the book of Jeremiah, specifically Jeremiah 22, verse 30, Jehoiachin is cursed by God. And here I'm just simply reading from Jeremiah 22, 30. Write this man, that is Jehoiachin. Now, I don't want to just confuse people further, but you know we gotta be accurate here. Jehoiachin then has two other names. So buckle up, here we go. He's also called Jeconiah and Conaniah. So there you have it. Jehoiachin also goes by Conaniah and Jeconiah. I simply say that because if our listeners turn to chapter 22 in Jeremiah, the curse is going to be leveled against one Conaniah. Well, it's the same guy, all right? Conaniah equals Jehoiachin equals Jeconiah, all right? So all of which is to say, write this man down, Jeremiah 22:30, as childless, all right? Well, so... If you are passing on the monarchy through your son and God curses you as having no children, then that pretty much ends the dynasty. And we need to know that the other Judean king who's still alive at the time of the exile is Zedekiah, but he has his four sons butchered before his eyes. I mean, this is horrific at a place called Riblah, modern-day Syria, before the throne of Nebuchadnezzar II. And right after that, Zedekiah's eyes are gouged out. So there's no hope or future for Zedekiah, a Davidic king. And well, I'll come back to this adjective Davidic here shortly, but with Zedekiah's offspring now dead, and Chin being cursed as childless, there doesn't appear to be any future for the Davidic dynasty. And in large part, the gospel in the Bible is going to revolve around God's promises to the house of David. All right, so we've kind of set that up. And now to, answer your question, Sarah, what is the commonality between Jehoiachin and Abraham? Well, lo and behold, in Genesis 15:2, Abraham is also described as childless. It's a rare Hebrew word only occurring just a handful of times in Israel's scriptures. So what happened to Abraham? He didn't remain childless forever. God reversed the curse, right? And there was a hope and a future for Abraham and Sarah. And just so, and this is a huge pair of dots to connect, that's exactly how God is going to reverse the curse for Jehoiachin. He will have offspring. He will not remain childless. If God did it once with Abraham, he'll do it again with Jehoiachin.
Can we play the name game?
Oh,
yeah.
Or etymology game.
Yeah. I like the etymology game.
So what's significant about the name Jehoiachin?
Probably not just a ton. It simply means that Yahoh, all right, so this would be, in Hebrew, the first three consonants of Yahweh, all right, with vowels inserted on Yahoh. And then we have this C-H-I-N means established. So we would maybe understand the word Yahweh, the Lord, establishes. And, you know, we could press into that a little bit, that God is going to establish the promises of David through Jehoiachin. So maybe I need to back up from my first answer to you, Andy. Yeah, so perhaps that's one way to understand the name, that chin part means established. It comes from a Hebrew word that sounds like this, kun. So there you go. That could be a definite possibility.
Interesting.
Hmm.
So let's see, we were talking about Davidic earlier and what that means. Any more about what Davidic means or what you wanted to explain with that?
Yeah, so in large part, the gospel message in the Old Testament is going to rest upon the promise that God made to Abraham, right, Isaac and Jacob, and the promise that God made to David and his descendants. And if you read the New Testament, right, and kind of paying attention to these names, Abraham and David, you'll see them literally all over the place. In fact, the first verse of the New Testament, Matthew 1:1, this is the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, that sequence is pretty important because Matthew 1:1-17 is going to proceed then chronologically, right? But David doesn't appear chronologically before Abraham. Abraham's in Genesis. David doesn't come along till 1 Samuel. So what is Matthew telling us? In large part, right, the promises to the house of David then would be the important monumental promise in the Old Testament, because that, of course, is pointing us to Christ Jesus our Lord. So if the Davidic line stops, comes to an end, there's, you know, at least from one perspective, there's no Jesus, all right, because Jesus is the ultimate Davidic king. So if we would look at, for example, Jeremiah 23:5-6, which is a wonderful, you know, promise of Jesus, but it begins in those days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell in safety. And the context in this is the king's name, who is called the Lord our righteousness, is from the house of David, David. So wrapping this all back to Jehoiachin at the end of Jeremiah 52, you can almost see God saying, we've got to get Jehoiachin to have some children, because this is the only hope to continue the messianic line.
We are taking a look at the last chapter of Overcoming Life's Sorrows, learning from Jeremiah from Dr. Lessing. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment right here on The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We're looking at Overcoming Life Sorrows, learning from Jeremiah by Dr. Reed Lessing. We are in the last chapter today, wrapping up this series, taking a look at chapter 26, Who Overcomes? So we've been talking about Jehoiachin. What is this story of Jehoiachin in Jeremiah? Tell us about...
Well, yeah. So if we go back to the question Sarah asked regarding the connection between the childless Abraham and the childless Jehoiachin, then we begin to understand the way the kingdom of God works. That is to say, how God exercises his gracious rule and reign in the world. and he's going to do so through a childless couple named Abraham and Sarah. He's going to do it through a once childless king named Jehoiachin. And we begin to expand this idea that God does big things with small stuff all over the Bible, right? God does really big things with small stuff, right? Like with Moses, you know, a crying baby in a little ark in Exodus chapter 2. And Gideon, who says, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, I'm the least in my family. And certainly all of this points to and is fulfilled in the message, 1 Corinthians 1:23, we preach Christ crucified, right? God does really big things with small stuff. And we could just extrapolate this into how we understand the gifts of baptism and Holy Communion, right? A little water, a little bread and wine connected to God's word. Big, big things, right? Means of grace, delivering the gifts of salvation won for us in Christ Jesus. Through what? Small stuff. I think that once we start seeing the biblical storyline along how God's kingdom is going to come into this world through small stuff, then we can really begin to delight in really what God does with our lives, right? Because, I don't know, I'm only about 5'8 and weigh about 140 pounds. So whatever we are doing in the name of Jesus, that might look like small stuff, right? Not so in the kingdom of God. Big things, big thing.
It's like the ways of God are not the ways of man or something like that. That's written in the Bibles. Oh, that's great. That is great. So how does the story of Jehoiachin, how does his exile and his story represent our exile? And what do we learn from that?
Yeah, so the first exile, that is to say the first time God kicks people out of the land, would be in Genesis chapter 3, of course, right? Adam and Eve, our first parents, are exiled east of Eden. And so that exile then is going to be a paradigm for any number of other biblical authors and biblical books and biblical verses. That is to say, the exile that Jehoiachin experiences, right, as I said, 597 BC, that's not the first exile, and that's not the last exile, right? I have a section in my Overcoming Life Sorrows book where I take on a little bit of 1 Peter, because 1 Peter, oh, in verse 1:1 and 1:17 and 2:11 is going to also use this motif of exile. That is to say, believers in Jesus are still exiled. That is to say, we're not home yet, and we're longing to go home. We lament that we're not home, but for now we're waiting for God's rescue for us, finally, right, when Christ returns a second time. So that is a motif that Peter is going to put before us, probably more so than any other book in the New Testament. Yeah, so we're all in Babylon, according to Peter, right? In 1 Peter 5, right, he kind of famously ends his letter and says, "She who is in Babylon greets you." Well, we know that Peter didn't write 1 Peter from Babylon, right? He wrote it from Rome. But what happens, right, is that Babylon and exile take on more of a spiritual dimension, right, for Christians in the New Testament era.
So how does God bring us through this exile?
Oh, wow. Yeah. In large part, that's what the book of Jeremiah is all about. In fact, if we go back to Jeremiah chapter 1, right, verses 1 and following, Jeremiah gives us a hint that exile is going to be a major idea in his book, okay? At any rate, in chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, he's going to talk about some of these Judean kings that we've been trying to pronounce and remember, but he's going to end his modest introduction in 1 verse 3 with these words, the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the exile of Jerusalem in the fifth month. So how do you survive exile? That's to say, how do you survive in a weird place, a strange place, a place that finally isn't your final home? How do you survive that? And how do you overcome the sorrows that are adjacent to an exilic existence? Well, again, that's what Jeremiah is trying to do throughout his book. And to connect this with our good brand new friend Jehoiachin, you trust in the promises of God, right? Because God made promises to Jehoiachin, right? These Davidic promises, 2 Samuel 7, 1 Chronicles 17. And God has given us, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, great and precious promises. It may sound simple and lackluster and not a lot of sizzle, and yet it's the promises in God's word that help us not only get through exile, be delivered from our exile in this world, but stay faithful in the exile and joyful and positive. Because I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, right? Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. That's the word. And we are living with this. We're going to die with this. And we find great joy in this even today.
So after all of this talk about overcoming and Jehoiachin's story, how does Jehoiachin's story end? How does the book of Jeremiah end? How does he wrap this all up?
Yeah, it ends with, you know, Jehoiachin getting freed from his Babylonian prison cell. Teenagers will love this part. He gets an allowance from the Babylonian king Evil-Merodach. His prison clothes are exchanged for robes of royalty. And then it ends. The book ends. Jeremiah just says, that's it. Full stop. Period. So there's not resolution, right? There's no, and they all lived happily ever after. Well, you know, you got to keep reading the Bible, right? And there is resolution. There is the consummation of all of the promises in Jeremiah, in Jesus our Lord.
Wrapping up this series, what has been most valuable to you? What did you learn in your study of Jeremiah in writing this book that is most valuable? And I know you shared much of it throughout this series, but if you were to sum it up in one or two ideas or words.
Yeah, I would say, as all of us know, that if we lose hope, we've just about lost the whole shooting match, right? And it's easy to lose hope, to become hopeless, to despair. But Jeremiah braces us when we are at our lowest points. He gives us a hope and a future, as I said in his probably most famous verse, 29:11. And Jeremiah himself, right, went through ups and downs, highs and lows. He despaired. He became hopeless. I mean, that's kind of good in a way that we're looking at someone who feels our pain, you know, knows what it's like to walk in our shoes. And yet Jeremiah overcomes, right? And in large part, going back to really chapter 1 in Jeremiah and chapter 2 in my book, through God's living, breathing, inspired, infallible, perfect word that points to the word made flesh in Jesus. Now that is hope that will never disappoint.
Amen. Amen. Overcoming life's sorrows, learning from Jeremiah, Dr. Reed Lessing. Dr. Lessing, thank you so much for spending this time with us in the series. It's been fantastic reading through your book together and spending this time together. Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Andy and Sarah. My pleasure.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.